presentation, which is actually a trifecta of three presentations in a 30-minute presentation, will be Dr. Austin Hagen, co-authors with their work at Auburn University. Austin.
A lot of you known me from the past, and mainly I work in peanuts. And when you start seeing defoliation in peanuts, there's all kind of alarms start going off, because you look at 25, 30, 40% defoliation, you start seeing substantial yield losses. And so this kind of looks like a scary disease, but I'm not really sure that that there's as much going on here as there might in some other crops. First of all, I'm just going to talk about and look at some of the fungicide trials that we did last year. These are just the symptoms of the leaf spot disease that we see in Alabama, same as the other states. There are certain risk factors associated with this target spot. We've done a little bit of work with varieties, so they certainly differ in their sensitivity to target spot. There might be some issues with seed. In soybeans and sesame, this fungus is seed-borne, and that may account for the movement of this disease in the last couple of years. Maybe it wasn't in seed fields until a little while ago. Maybe we've changed seed sources. I don't know where seed comes from. But that may be the way that it's getting around, because this is not the type of fungus that moves long distances in air currents. The conidia are just too big. They're going to fall out of the air column. There may be some issues with tillage. We tried to do some tillage trials in 2012, and they didn't work out. Possibly, if you have heavy cover of rye or oats or wheat on the soil surface versus a very low level of cover, that may make a big difference as to how strip or a no-till situation influences disease development. It may be a little better in conventional till, because this fungus does survive on crop disease, crop debris, excuse me, when you talk about soybean and sesame. So it hangs around. We've already seen the influence of irrigation in the last talk. We don't have the capacity in Alabama to kind of split plots with irrigation, so we're not going to be able to handle that one. But it certainly looks like in a wetter environment, this pathogen is much more active. One thing in some of the inoculation trials that we're following up on that Bob and his group have done, it may take at least 24, if up to 48 hours for this fungus to successfully infect a cotton leaf. It's not like some others where you're looking at 8 to 12 hours. So it may be a lot more dependent on really wet weather patterns or very heavy irrigation to get a high level of infection. We're basically looking at three fungicides on cotton: Twinline, Headline, and Quadris. The treatment protocols or timings are basically the same, but the one thing all of them have in common is they all have Astrobe in them, either with metconazole or alone, and we're limited to two consecutive applications. So effectively on cotton, all we have are two application programs, one or two. We can't make and additional applications, and of course we've already seen that if you make too many applications, you run into resistance related control failure. So the trials that I'm going to touch on were done at the Gulf Coast substation, which is down about 3 or 4 miles from Mobile Bay. We used phytogen 499, which we identified in 2011 as being susceptible, and Delapine 1050, which is partially resistant or tolerant depending on your terminology, and turns out the two most popular varieties in the southeast. It's a rain-fed study, and the fungicides were applied at bloom in this test and then 14 days later. So this was a timing test, not an on-demand trial, and the cotton was picked in October. I use a different rating scale. This is one off of peanuts we use. It looks at leaf spotting at the lower levels of disease, and then you start picking up defoliation as being the main determining factor as you go up the scale. And mainly in a lot of these trials, our ratings are running between 5 and 7, so that's 25 to 75% defoliation. And at Gulf Coast last year, we had pretty good rain, because that scale goes up to 5 inches. So we had a couple of rain events at around 4 inches, And other than the middle of June and maybe we got into September, late to mid-September, then it really started to dry off. But otherwise, we had plenty of rainfall at that particular unit. It was a split plot design. So cotton, when you look at target spot intensity, the variety had a huge impact on the amount of disease. The fungicide treatments had a major impact, and there was no interaction, which basically indicates that the treatments behaved the same on both varieties. So we have the mean disease values listed below. If we're looking at phytogen versus the 1099, there'd be a big difference in the actual numbers. We got a reduction with all the fungicides, and we had two rates. No difference between the high and low rate of any of the products we tested, all lower than the non-treated control, but they were not particularly effective in and of themselves. If you look at the seed cotton yields, and I don't have the breakdown or data on just the lint yields at this point, we didn't get a difference in yield due to cotton variety. We did get one due to the fungicides. And again, there was no interaction. And if you look at the varieties, as I said, they're about 100 pounds of sea cotton difference. The only treatment where we got a significant yield increase compared with the non-treated control was two applications of headline at 9 fluid ounces, which is basically what they're seeing over in Georgia. That treatment tends to float to the top, and the lower rate was right behind it numerically. The other thing the headline did is it outperformed both rates of twin line as well as the low rate of quadras. But we're still in the same ranges as far as yield gains out of the study out of Georgia. Did an on-demand test, which meant Jared back there scouted the cotton, and when he saw leaf spotting, he went ahead and triggered that first spray, and then the second one came about 2 weeks later. They were applied. These were adjoining plot areas, so they were treated the same. And we had some registered treatments and some candidate treatments to see whether or not they displayed any efficacy against target spot. And this was just on phytogen 499. You got twin line reduced. Actually, the two most effective were twin line at the higher rate and the headline treatment. The twin line at the lower rate was the same as those two, and quadras was kind of in the middle among the recommended products. But again, you're still looking at with a 6 at 50% defoliation in those treatments. If you look below there, the candidate treatments, the headline amped comparative to the twin line and the headline treatments. Quilt was in there. The muscle was fading out. Bravo Weather Stick and Stratego yield didn't work at all when you compare them with the non-treated control. And you're looking at about 80% defoliation at this point in time on the non-treated control. If you look at yields, no differences when you compare any of the fungicide treatments back against the non-treated control. We're running into the same issue that they're seeing in Georgia. The only difference among treatments was the headline amp did better than Stratego yield. That's it. So we were able to reduce target spot intensity with the registered products as preventive treatments when we apply them at first bloom. And that's as it is according to the label. We only had one of those treatments where we got a significant yield gain, and that was the headline at 9 fluid ounces. We did reduce target spot intensity with the on-demand treatment. So these were not rescue treatments. This is when you're first seeing spotting in the canopy. So we didn't try any rescue treatments. But with none of those treatments did that translate into higher yields. The Bravo Ultrex, unfortunately, and the Stratego yield didn't work very well. We've got a problem with fungicide chemistries in cotton because we only have Strobilurea in materials. We know there's an issue with potential issue with resistance. We need some other chemistry to mix with those products. So we're really in a tight at this point. We need to look at treatment schedules with recommended products, earlier or later start dates, which they've actually already started to do in Georgia. We didn't look at any rescue treatments, but again, they have done numbers of applications with some other products. We need some help. We didn't try any tank mixes with any of the broad spectrum fungicide treatments, and we need to look at some of these other chemistries to see if they have any efficacy, and certainly if they have superior efficacy to the products that we've got right now. So that's where we are right now on this particular trial.